globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we traveled 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera, poročamo o južni polovni.
Banditsko-džihadistična naveza.
Na začetku meseca je nigerijsko vojaško letalstvo izvedlo več raketnih napadov na oporišča džihadistične organizacije Boko Haram in pri tem po ocenah vojske ubilo okoli 100 pripadnikov skupine. Boko Haram, ki ga država obravnava kot teroristično organizacijo, je v tednih predtem izvedel vrsto napadov v okolici jezera Čad, v katerih so ubili vsaj 12 ljudi, od tega 6 kamerunskih vojakov. Konec prejšnjega tedna je Boko Haram po nepreverjenih informacijah lokalnih medijev obglavil vsaj 7 kmetov v podeželski okolici mesta Majduguri. Gre za prestolnico zvezne države Borno na severovzhodu Nigerije, kjer je prek 20 let žarišče delovanja Boko Harama. Na območju deluje več oboroženih skupin in manjših tolp. Poleg Boko Harama je najbolj znana islamska država, provinca Zahodna Afrika, ki je z odcepitvijo od Boko Harama tudi nastala.
Mohamed Yusuf je Boko Haram ustanovil leta 2002 v regiji Borno. Osnovni namen organizacije je bilo očiščenje slabega. To je vključevalo tudi širjenje sunitskega in uničenje šiitskega islama. Kakor je pred slabim desetletjem v južni hemisferi ugotavljal Jaša Veselinovič, na začetku ni šlo zgolj ali predvsem za nasilje z namenom vzpostavitve šariatske vladavine, temveč se je Boko Haram zanašal na islamsko izobraževanje in novačenje članov ter širjenje propagande. Boko Haram ime izraža zgrešenost ali grešnost zahodnega oziroma neislamskega izobraževanja, je do militarizacije svojega delovanja okoli leta 2009 opravljal tudi vlogo nekakšne države. Na področjih, na katerih je deloval, je zagotavljal preskrbo s hrano in druge socialne storitve. Vzvod za svoje organiziranje v družbi je Boko Haram našel v visoki nezaposlenosti, posebej med mladimi, državni korupciji in jezi, ki jo je to prineslo. Ne gre torej zgolj za očiščenje v verskem smislu, ampak tudi za očiščenje pokvarjene nigerijske politike, odvisne od naftnih interesov tujih multinacionalk.
Predvsem po smrti vodje in ustanovitelja Yusufa leta 2009 se je skupina za doseganje ciljev vedno pogosteje posluževala nasilja, denimo bombnih napadov in ugrabitev. Abu Bakar Shekau, novi voditelj, je bil glavni razlog za to. O menjavi šefov govori neodvisni novinar Colin Mayfield, ki je na severu Nigerije bil aprila.
Boko Haram was founded in Borno's capital Maiduguri in 2002 by this guy named Mohamed Yusuf. He was a proselytizer there and in Maiduguri, and a lot of poor Muslims from across Nigeria joined him. At first, they wanted to live separate from secular Nigerian society, so they got some land in a very rural area by the Niger border in a neighboring Yobe state. Eventually, some of Yusuf's followers started launching attacks, and by 2003, they were in conflict with the Nigerian government. This really escalated in 2009 when Yusuf was captured by the Nigerian army. He was handed to police, and he died in police custody. Most likely, he was beaten to death, tortured, killed. But he died in police custody, and this not only did it galvanize Boko Haram and really infuriate them, but it also led to a much, much worse human being becoming the leader of Boko Haram. So he was succeeded by this guy named Shekau, Abu Bakr Shekau. And Shekau was an extremist. I mean, obviously, anyone involved in one of these militant Islamist groups is going to be an extremist, but Shekau was extreme by extremist standards. He would attack more Muslims than Christians because he said those Muslims weren't allied with his group. So he bombed mosques and markets. He would use children as suicide bombers, particularly little girls. But Shekau captured a lot of territory, and he gained national attention when they kidnapped the about 300, it was like 290-something, Chibok schoolgirls. When this happened, the international eye saw Nigeria. There was the Bring Back Our Girls hashtag, and Shekau was really at the height of his power. They were taking territory at that point. And conversely, this is in 2015, the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria is rapidly expanding and taking territory, and the caliphate there is very powerful. So Shekau, in order to increase his standing within the Islamist community, he declared his allegiance to the Islamic State.
Marca 2015, ko je Boko Haram pod Shekaujem razglasil zavezništvo z islamsko državo, je ta obvladovala kalifat v vzhodni Siriji in Iraku, Boko Haram pa je imel pod nadzorom območja v svoji izvorni regiji Borno. A vodstvo islamske države, teda je bil na čelu prvi kalif Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, je dobro leto po sklenitvi zavezništva že nastavilo zamenjavo za Shekauja. Zaradi tega je prišlo do schizme znotraj Boko Harama. Takrat se je formirala islamska država provinca Zahodna Afrika z angliško kratico ISWAP pod vodstvom Abuja Masaba al-Barnavija.
And Boko Haram became the Islamic State West Africa province, or ISWAP. But IS Central Command thought Shekau was too extreme. Like, he called every Muslim that wasn't Boko Haram takfir, used little kids for suicide bombings, and did a lot of other stuff that IS frowned upon. So IS dubbed this guy named Barnawi to be the successor of ISWAP. And Barnawi was actually Muhammad Yusuf, the original founder of Boko Haram. It, most likely, Barnawi is Yusuf's eldest son. We don't know that for a fact, but most likely, Barnawi is Yusuf's son. So after that, a schism broke out. And now we have, the original Boko Haram group under Shekau reverting to going by the name Boko Haram and the Islamic State West Africa province that was led by Barnawi. So there was infighting. Shekau took under 2,000 fighters with him. Barnawi took over 3,000 fighters with him. And ISWAP became the dominant faction in Borno State.
Za voljo enostavnosti bomo v oddaji za skupino, ki je sogovornik naziva z angliško kratico, uporabljali kar naziv Islamska država, če tudi je to zavajajoče, ker zakriva ločenost skupine od Islamske države Iraka in Levanta in dejstvo, da je nastala iz Boko Harama. Boljši, neposreden prevod imena v slovenščino je kar Vilaja Zahodne Afrike, ki ne izraža le pomena arabske upravne enote, ampak tudi pomen vladanja in celote. Tako ime kaže pretenzijo skupine, da bi bila, rečeno evropocentrično, suverena država onkraj meja priznanih držav.
Po razkolu in zamenjavi vodstva leta 2016 sta skupini moči usmerili druga proti drugi. V boju za prevlado je uspelo islamski državi. Vzpostavila je namreč administracijo na področjih, ki jih je obvladovala. Boko Haram se je od menjave vodstva zatekal predvsem k napadom na nepokorne vasi in manjša mesta ter k zasužnjevanju lokalnega prebivalstva. Islamska država pa je pobirala davke in vzpostavljala svoja sodišča. Vlogo, ki jo je imel Boko Haram, je torej v veliki meri prevzela frakcija islamske države. Po oceni mednarodne krizne skupine je pod oblastjo islamske države v Nigeriji med letoma 2016 in 2022 živelo med 800 tisoč in 3 milijone ljudi. Razlike med metodami obeh skupin strne sogovorec.
The main difference between Boko Haram and ISIS West or Islamic State West Africa province, at the end of the day, it came down to a leadership schism. IS Central Command was not fond of how Shekau was running his jihadist group, and they wanted Barnawi to take over. And Barnawi did have a legitimate claim, being, of course, the son of Muhammad Yusuf. But so the split was a political schism, and their relationship with one another is that of rivals. They will fight each other constantly. They clash with one another. And ISWAP has actually done more to destroy Boko Haram than the Nigerian government has. I mean, Nigerian media has reported multiple times that Shekau was killed in an airstrike or a government operation, and then Shekau would release videos mocking the Nigerian state. But ISWAP, in the Battle of Sambisa Forest, actually did manage to kill Shekau, or he killed himself. But so they clash with one another. They are both vying to be the dominant faction, and right now ISWAP is the dominant faction. Both, of course, are, you know, Sunni Islamist groups, but one of the main tactical differences between the two are just what targets are considered acceptable. So both will do IEDs against the Nigerian military and ambushes against the Nigerian military. But and both, of course, will still kidnap from villages and take slaves, especially Boko Haram. Shekau, while he was alive, said multiple times that slavery was justified and it was his right to capture and enslave women. But one way that Boko Haram and IS definitely differ is the fact that ISWAP has not been prone to using children as suicide bombers, and ISWAP doesn't bomb mosques the way Boko Haram does.
Islamski državi je leta 2021 v napadu v gozdu Sambisa, ki je bil glavno zatočišče Boko Harama, Shekauja torej uspelo ubiti. Obkolili so bazo, v kateri je bil tudi Shekau, ta pa naj bi se razstrelil sam. To je bil močan udarec za Boko Haram in otedaj si vojaško in strateško ni opomogel. Nekaj borcev je po Shekaujevi smrti, pa tudi že v obdobju predtem, pobegnilo na sever in severozahod države ter se pridružilo tamkajšnjim tolpam, zaradi česar so te postale nevarnejše. Tu gre predvsem za boje med ljudstvi za golo preživetje.
So in the north, the Hausa have traditionally been farmers and the Fulani have traditionally been herders. And over the last century, there's just been conflict between the two ethnic groups, or between members of the two ethnic groups, rather, because there are places where Hausa and Fulani live and get along just fine. But historically, there has existed a lot of tension between the two groups over water rights in northern Nigeria. And water disputes over water rights would lead to a death on either side. And this kind of has spiraled over the decades into tit for tat ethnic killing, where a Hausa is killed, so a group of Hausa will go and kill a Fulani, and then vice versa. And it just keeps happening. Well, after Shekau died, and some of the Boko Haram went west to join with gangs, there's actually a gang in Zamfara state that more than likely, they don't know, the Nigerian authorities don't know this for a fact, but most analysts and some government officials think that this came from Boko Haram. But there was a gang in Zamfara state that got an anti-aircraft gun, and they actually used it to shoot down a Nigerian fighter jet that had just finished strafing their hideout in the forest.
Boko Haram je medijsko pozornost po celem svetu dobil, ko je leta 2014 ugrabil skoraj 300 šolark in študentk. Take ugrabitve so postale ustaljena praksa večine oboroženih skupin v Nigeriji.
Other militant groups have been inspired by these kidnappings. So after the Chibok schoolgirl kidnapping that was perpetrated by Boko Haram in 2014, you started seeing bandit groups conducting their own kidnappings because they realized this is a way to be feared by the populace. It's good for propaganda, and it also is incredibly profitable. And it also provides political leverage in that sometimes these different groups will try and negotiate for the release of their captured commanders with kidnapped victims.
Ugrabitve so postale zelo donosna dejavnost, s katero se financira večina oboroženih uporniških skupin v Nigeriji. Tarče so ponavadi ženske in otroci, saj so neoboroženi. Po podatkih nigerijskega varnostnega sledilnika, ki spada pod okrilje ameriškega možganskega trusta Council on Foreign Relations, so v Nigeriji samo lani z zahtevami po odkupnini ugrabili skoraj 5000 oseb.
The kidnappings have been primarily a way to make money. Several analysts have described kidnapping as the most profitable and most lucrative business within Nigeria. It's a huge way that the Nigerian state makes a lot of money. Or not the Nigerian state, Nigerian militant groups make money, whether they be jihadist or separatist. For example, I met some paroled Boko Haram fighters in Maiduguri who had surrendered to the Nigerian government. You know, one of them was a bomb maker, and he described to me how they launched a raid into Cameroon, and they attacked a mine, and they kidnapped 7 or 8 Chinese nationals, and they were able to ransom them back to the Chinese government for several million dollars.
Odgovor nigerijskih vlad je seveda vedno bil čedalje večja represija. Pristop preganjanja terorizma so razvili še v časih vojaških diktatur v 90-ih letih. Leta 1994 je general in vladar Nigerije Sani Abacha ustanovil posebno enoto vojske za spopadanje z banditi, kasneje pa je njena vloga postala tudi spopadanje z džihadističnimi milicami.
So banditry has existed for decades, and to actually to combat banditry, the Nigerian, the previous administration, it was a military dictatorship under Sani Abacha, but the Abacha regime created this thing called the National Joint Task Force that existed to fight bandits. It just bandits in northern Nigeria. 2002 comes along, Mohammed Yusuf forms Boko Haram in Nigeria, or in Maiduguri, the capital of Borno State. They start fighting with the government 2002, 2003, 2009. The fighting with Boko Haram really kicks off and becomes what we know it today. By 2015, the National Joint Task Force became the Multinational Joint Task Force, and Chad, Niger, Benin, and Cameroon were helping Nigeria to fight against Boko Haram and, of course, ISWAP.
Tako Islamska država kot Boko Haram delujeta tudi v državah, ki mejijo na regijo Borno na severu Nigerije, odkudar izvirata. Obe skupini izvajata ugrabitve predvsem tujih državljanov, turistov in poslovnežev v sosednjem Kamerunu. Leta 2015 je Boko Haram izvedel samomorilski napad na ozemlju Čada in pri tem ubil več policistov in civilistov. Člani obeh skupin so prav tako večkrat izvedli napade na ozemlju Nigra. Zaradi širjenja območij, na katerih delujeta Boko Haram in Islamska država, so se Benin, Nigerija, Niger, Čad in Kamerun odločili za ustanovitev skupnih vojaških enot.
For the most part, the Multinational Joint Task Force has been conducting airstrikes against jihadist targets within the bush. So they'll bomb bandit camps, and they'll bomb like ISWAP or Boko Haram camps in the bush. And then what they'll also do is they will do raids into the forest. These will have to come after the rainy season because their armored vehicles and technicals would get stuck in the mud otherwise. It's very difficult for the Nigerian military to traverse through the bush because the bandits are all on four-wheelers and motorcycles and ATVs, whereas the government has heavy armored vehicles that can't get through little cattle paths, nor can they get through the mud. So they can't do much offensive fighting during the rainy season. So during that time, it's mostly just airstrikes and aerial bombardments.
Meddržavna vojaška koalicija je ob nasvetih in neposredni asistenci svetovnih policajev uspešno omejila ozemlje, na katerem džihadistični skupini delujeta. Predvsem z letalskimi bombami je uničila vojaške kapacitete Boko Harama in Islamske države. Nigerijsko vlado podpirajo Združeno kraljestvo, nekdanja kolonialna gospodarica in Združene države Amerike. V prvi polovici leta 2014, ko je Boko Haram dobil mednarodno pozornost po ugrabitvi skoraj 300 šolark, so Združene države Amerike v Nigerijo poslale vojaške svetovalce in trenerje, kmalu zatem pa tudi 80 lastnih vojakov. Kasneje istega leta je zaradi slabih odnosov med nigerijskimi in ameriškimi vojaškimi uradniki Nigerija odpovedala zadnjo fazo ameriškega usposabljanja nigerijske vojske. Leta 2015 so Združene države Amerike poslale svojo vojsko v Kamerun z nalogo boja proti Boko Haramu, kasneje pa tudi proti Islamski državi. Velik del operacij, ki jih izvaja ameriška vojska v Nigeriji, je obveščevalne narave.
Združeno kraljestvo je v Nigerijo prav tako poslalo predvsem vojaške trenerje. V operaciji Turus 350 vojakov, ki usposabljajo nigerijsko državno vojsko. Operacija še vedno traja. Konec maja je Action on Armed Violence, angleška raziskovalna organizacija, objavila poročilo o skrivnem delovanju britanskih specialnih enot v Nigeriji, v katerem trdi, da britanske enote skrbijo predvsem za reševanje britanskih državljanov, ki so jih ugrabili džihadisti. Boko Haram in Islamska država sta se na vojaške kampanje seveda prilagodila.
So neither Boko Haram or ISIS West Africa province controlled the territory that they used to. Now they have remote hideouts in the bush, particularly still in Sambisa Forest and a few other forests in northeastern Nigeria. But they have their hidden camps in the forest, and they have some rural villages, but they do not control territory like they used to. They control very little territory. And aside from raids outside of their forests, they attack government forces through IED attacks most often. They also still launch kidnappings, as they've always done. They'll attack easily defended targets like schools or homes or small villages and kidnap. Mostly they're confined to small arms, like just your various AK-47s, PKMs, RPGs.
Zaradi spopadov je vlada za obrambo vasi, predvsem na severovzhodu, organizirala milice sestavljene denimo iz lovcev, torej civilistov.
The military is incredibly overstretched, as are the police and other government forces. So the government supplements this through different militia groups. So the most common is called the JTF or CJTF, Joint Task Force or Civilian Joint Task Force. They're used interchangeably. But JTF units are in pretty much every village in Nigeria will have JTF. And essentially what it is, JTFs are loose confederations of bands of hunters in rural areas. Not every JTF member is a hunter, but most JTF members are hunters. And when they're not hunting, they'll serve as the first line of defense for their villages. So oftentimes you'll see or occasionally, like, JTF members will be out hunting and they'll run into bandits and they will have to fight them off until the hunters are able to retreat. Or bandits will attack their villages and they have to hold off the bandits until the military can arrive.
Konfederacija milic, imenovana Skupne civilne operativne sile, deluje lokalno in deloma avtonomno, vendar pod formalnim in orožarskim okriljem vojske. V Nigeriji veljajo strogi zakoni glede nošnje in uporabe orožja med civilnim prebivalstvom, zato se branitelji vasi pogosto zatekajo k improviziranemu ali predpotopnemu orožju.
Because there are very restrictive gun control laws in Nigeria, the JTF militia members are very poorly armed. Most of them do not have firearms. The ones that do have firearms might have a hunting gun if they can afford it. Most of them have homemade pipe guns or pipe muskets, like black powder, percussion cap muskets out of the 19th century. They're homemade, of course. And the JTF are very poorly armed, but they will hold attackers away from their village to provide the Nigerian government at least some time to respond. The other thing that the JTF is very useful for is they're very good for scouting operations. So because JTF are locals and they're in their area, if the Nigerian army is going to conduct operations in a specific area, they'll oftentimes bring scouts and supplementary fighters from the local JTF. And in those instances, because most JTF go through training with the military or the police, they know how to use modern weapons. So if they're attached with the military, they'll be allowed to borrow an AK and use it in the army's raid into the forest. And then they relinquish it when the raid is done and go back to defending with their musket. There are other similar groups as well called vigilante associations. And a bunch of major cities will have these militias as well. And they'll raid into the forest and fight jihadists as well. And they don't have arms at their buildings or on their person, but they will go to military barracks and they'll borrow weapons. And then when they're done, they'll turn them in.
Izključno vojaški pristop oblasti do Boko Harama in Islamske države je v vseh letih bojev pustil strašanske humanitarne posledice. Po oceni Združenih narodov je samo lani na severu Nigerije več kot 8 milijonov ljudi, večinoma žensk in otrok, potrebovalo humanitarno pomoč. Od leta 2009, ko je džihadistični boj na severu Nigerije dobil oboroženo dimenzijo, je v njem po ocenah Združenih narodov umrlo vsaj 40 tisoč ljudi. Oborožen konflikt in delovanje džihadističnih skupin v regiji sta poleg tega posredno povzročila smrt okoli 314 tisoč ljudi. Svoje domove je zaradi napadov zapustilo prek 2 milijona ljudi. Večinoma so se preselili v bolj centralne dele države. Mnogi še naprej živijo v begunskih taboriščih.
So there are IDP camps across northern Nigeria. Particularly, there's one of the largest ones is Muna Camp, and it's located in Maiduguri. There's 51,000 IDPs that live there, or about 51,000. And all of these people fled from villages in rural Borno state. Most of them fled in 2015 when Boko Haram was at its height, but some have come in a lot more recently. Their homes have been torched, family members killed, and they were living in really rural areas that were overtaken by these Islamist elements. So thousands of people remain in these IDP camps, and they are very poor condition. USAID and the Danish Refugee Council have given assistance in Muna Camp, but the main people helping in Muna Camp are either local volunteers or the Red Crescent. One thing that the Red Crescent does specifically is they will encourage hygiene, and they'll distribute materials for cleanliness, and they'll teach people how to avoid cholera. But there's not a lot of opportunity for the people living in the IDP camps, because Muna isn't even an official camp recognized by the Nigerian government. The state itself has not done much to assist the refugees that have had to flee from the insurgency.
Z uporabo vojaške tehnologije, kot so droni in precizne vodene rakete, je boj proti džihadistom postal uspešnejši in zahteva manj človeških žrtev. Vendar je tako le z vojaškega vidika. Dolgotrajni odpor skupin, ki štejejo le nekaj tisoč borcev, opozarja na nefunkcionalnost državnega aparata pri zagotavljanju osnovnih življenjskih pogojev za navadne ljudi, predvsem na severu. Izključno vojaška kampanja pri zatiranju gibanj, ki imajo dobre razloge za radikalizacijo, se je nič kolikokrat izkazala za neuspešno. Ideje se z orožjem ne da ubiti.
Južno hemisfero je pripravil Pero, lektorirala je Irena, tehniciral je Linč, brala sva Biga in Šua.
Globalization to a large extent is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how they rule. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
We travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that a bit all the way, you'll see what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Poročamo o južni polobli.